and amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Marcus. It is well with my soul. That's testimonies of faith. It is well with my soul. All things are possible with God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is possible with Him is not always profitable for Him, nor for you, nor for me. Jesus said, God, all things are possible with you, but it's not my will be done, thy will be done. Amen. What is profitable for the kingdom and for you is not always what is necessarily possible, what God is able to do. And that's where we want to say, it is well, God. You do with me what you see fit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Marcus, again for leading us in worship. Something that we did in our family, what Marcus was alluding to there, was we were fortunate. God gave us three pretty girls, and these girls are all grown up. You can see Miss Lydia right there. She is a grown lady now, been married for what, 7 years now? Is it 7 years? To Marcus, we've got three wonderful son-in-laws. But something we did when our girls was young, and this is just a little tip to you men out there and you mamas out there for your daughters, we set up in our family some guidelines about courting, about dating, that the girls had to be at least 16 years old before they could ever date. And before they could ever do that, the boy had to come see me personally and had to talk to me personally before he could ever take my daughter anywhere. And when he came to talk to me about my daughter and wanting to date her or court her, he also had to bring with him a 1,000-piece puzzle. And we would put a 1,000-piece puzzle together in our home with him and her and everybody else around the table so that we could get to know him before we ever let him take our daughter off by himself somewhere else. And I tell you, it takes a little while to put a 1,000-piece puzzle together, amen? So when Marcus would come to the house and hang out with us, that was some of the conversations that we had around the table putting that puzzle together. Marcus had surrendered to ministry and he was doing youth work and those things. So we got into some discussion around the Word of God. I put a test on him to see really what he understood and knew. And he held his own, as he said, and the Lord continued to grow him and Lydia. And I thank God for what he's done in their lives. But we got three puzzles and three son-in-laws. Three puzzles and three son-in-laws. So, and we got three great son-in-laws. We couldn't be any more grateful and thankful for the men that God brought into our family for our daughter's sake. And not only that, something we encourage you to pray for your future son-in-law or daughter-in-laws. Pray that not only will they be solid men and women, but those solid men and women will like each other. Meaning your son-in-law would like your other son-in-law, and your other daughter-in-law would like your other daughter-in-law, and vice versa. Amen? That's important when you get around the table. Everybody likes one another. Because that's not always the case. And could I get a testimony? But we want to like one another. Well, to God be the glory and the praise. Don't ever underestimate the value and the worth of your praise before God. What did we say this morning? That God, what, paralyzes the enemy when we praise Him. Psalm 8, I would encourage you to look at that tonight before you go to bed. And then in the morning, you will think about it and you will ponder it and you will meditate upon it. You will chew on it like a cow chews the cud. You will just ponder and ponder and ponder. The Apostle Paul told Timothy this. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, he said, Timothy, commit the things that I've committed you to unto able men who are apt to teach the Word of God. The next phrase is, when you do that, you're going to have to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. And then he goes through and says, a good soldier doesn't entangle themselves with the affairs of this world if he wants to please him who enlisted him. And then he says, if you run a race, you need to compete according to the rules or you'll be disqualified. And then he said the farmer must be first the one to participate of the crops. And then he says this word in verse number 7, consider the things that I've said unto you, and may God give you the understanding. You see, the considering part belonged to Timothy. That was his responsibility, to consider what Paul was pouring into him, the word that he was pouring into him. That word consider means to think about, to ponder, to meditate upon, to get all you can possibly get out. How many of y'all, how many cowmen we got in here? How many stomachs does a cow have? Four stomachs. That cow chews that old hay or that grain or whatever you feed in that cow. And when that cow chews that grain and she swallows that, she'll regurgitate that and then chew on it some more and regurgitate it and chew on it some more. I know it doesn't sound pleasant, but that's just the way God made them. Now, what is that big 1,500-pound, 1,000-pound cow doing? That cow is getting all the nutrients that it can get out of that grass or that grain or that feed so that cow can have what it needs to raise a calf to 1,000 pounds. It's getting all that it can get out of it. And that's the idea of chewing on the cud or meditating or ruminating or pondering or thinking on the Word of God. That is our responsibility. And it's God's responsibility to give us the understanding of it. That's out of our control. Brother Marvin can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can't do it. We have one responsibility when it comes to the truth, and that is we give ourselves to meditate upon it. And when we do, then God takes the responsibility to give us the understanding of it. But I can't expect God to give me understanding if I'm not taking my responsibility to think about what He said. Because if I don't think about what He said, that's saying to Him that I don't value what He said. And I want to tell you, if you ever want to think about anything anybody ever said, it's what He said. Amen? Because what he said is life. It is life. And what He says about our praise is that He, when we praise Him, He paralyzes the enemy. I gave a picture. Won't you pull that picture up for me? This is a picture I took not long ago. Y'all see that right there? I don't know how clear that is, but those are spiders that I talked about this morning in a dirt dauber's nest. Some people refer to them as a mud dauber. Those spiders are alive right now. I got down on my hands and knees and I even videoed it. And you can see their legs just barely moving. And you see that one piece on top of this front spider right here on top of it? That's larva of a dirt dauber that was laid on that spider. That spider is alive. It's just paralyzed. Because that dirt dauber stung it, paralyzed it, brought it back to its nest, built a little mud cavity around it, laid its larva on it, closed it up, and went and caught another spider and brought it back to the nest. And that's what dirt daubers are constantly doing. Spiders to the nest, build the mud around it, lay its larva, and they grow. That spider's alive, it's just paralyzed. And I want to tell you, that spider is powerless. That spider could actually more likely kill the dirt dauber. But because the dirt dauber stung it, it rendered it powerless. And I want to tell you, Satan's more powerful than we are. But not with Jesus, amen? Not with Jesus. Not when He renders him powerless over our lives. In the element that He uses, I think a song that we were singing this morning said, "My weapon shall be a melody." My weapon shall be a melody. My weapon shall be a praise unto God. And that praise that comes out of us. And this is what God says in Psalm 148. In Psalm 148, verse number 14, God says specifically that He has elevated or exalted to a superior place the praises of His saints over all the praise of all creation. 148 is all about praise. It's calling on the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the host of heaven to praise God. everything in heaven to praise Him. You know those angels that when they're in the presence of God, they cover their feet and they cover their face and they sing, "Holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty." And then all the earth has been summoned to praise God and give Him adoration. But God says, out of all the praise, including the firmament when it declares the glory of God, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the heavens, including all the angelic host, it's the praises of the redeemed that God has put to a superior place, elevated it above all other praise of the earth. You know why? That sun can declare God's glory, but that sun cannot describe the gospel of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Only the redeemed are able to do that. Amen. And when we are walking in faith obedience and we are praising God and giving glory to Him and we are declaring His praise, we are showing forth His praise that He took us out of darkness and He's brought us into the light, that He took us from the authority and power of the enemy and He's translated us into the kingdom of the love of His Son. And we articulate that with the words of our mouth, that our lifestyles back up what we proclaim and say. God says that kind of praise is superior to all other praise in creation. And brothers and sisters, that ought to bless you tonight. You know, every time you see that pretty sunset and you walk out at night and the stars are just filling the sky, and you just want to give glory to God and give thanks to Him, because they do declare His praise. They do. But you see, they cannot tell the world who this God is. They can't tell it. Man cannot be saved by looking at the sun or the moon or the stars. Man cannot be saved looking at the glories of the Grand Canyon or the extensive long river, the Nile River, the Amazon. They cannot be saved by anything they see in this creation. The only means, the only power that God's given unto men to rescue those that are perishing is the gospel. Amen. That gospel is centered on His Son. And the only people declaring that is those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus, sought out by Him, caught by Him, and then taught by Him. Amen? And that's what He's doing in the life of His church today, is that He's using us to declare His praise. Take your revelation and look in Luke chapter number 1. We're going to pick up where we left off. I knew we probably wouldn't finish this morning where we started, but we'll continue on with this thought of being witnesses of the Word, not just witnesses of the witnesses, but witnesses of the Word. You got bystanders, you got sightseers, and then you have what you would call, what I call the disciples of Jesus, the witnesses of the Word. Witnesses of the Word, or what we really are, is storytellers. We're storytellers. Since I've had this diagnosis of CLL, that puts me now in front of a lot of different people. And I see that God is using this leukemia, this blood cancer, as an opportunity to put me before other people on a consistent basis. From week after week, every 3 months they tested my blood. Now it's about to get even busier with us. This past week I went in, everything's been going good with what I have. I hadn't had any trouble. They examined me, they test my blood. My blood's been looking okay. But I've been having some discomfort in my chest and in my stomach, so they did a CAT scan on me, and they found that my lymph nodes in my chest and in my abdomen and my pelvic area and my spleen has enlarged, so they want to start some chemo treatment on me. This is what they recommend. So next week when I get back in the Meridian area, that we've set up on the 16th to start a process to try to reduce that down and bring some of this down and just take it to the next step and the next level. But I go before these doctors and these people that hadn't met me before, and I sit before them, and one of the first things they ask me about, Brother David, said, "What do you do for a living?" I look at them, I say, "I'm a storyteller." And they get this look on their face like, "Oh boy, we got a nutcase in here." They get a big old grin. Stephanie's been in there with me a time or two, and they look at me and they like, come on, tell me a little bit more. What do you mean? And I said, you know, I get to tell the story of Jesus every day of my life. All I get to do is I get to repackage it, rearrange it, and retell it from different angles and different ways, but it's always making a beeline back to Jesus. That's who I am. That's what I do. And then they'll say, come on, what does that mean? I said, well, I am a pastor. And I get to preach and teach the Word of God, but ultimately I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a disciple of His, I am a storyteller who is a witness to the Word and the effect of God upon my life. And that's what disciples are. Disciples are not sightseers, they're storytellers. You see, sightseers ride down the road. You know, we talked about those rubberneckers this morning. How when they going down the road, they kind of looking here and they looking there. They taking in all the sights. They're sightseers everywhere they go. They're not really paying attention exactly where they're going. They're just taking in the sights. A lot of people get clogged up behind them as they're taking in those sights. But we're not to be sightseers that are witnesses of the witnesses, that we're paying more attention about everybody around us rather than being the storyteller, disciple makers who have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who learn how to tell the story of Jesus in every aspect of our life. That whatever God throws our way, whatever comes our way, because God's not going to keep us from things. There's nothing in the living Word of God you'll ever find that God does not say He will deliver us from trouble. He will deliver us through trouble. He delivers us out of trouble. You see, to get out of trouble, you had to go into trouble. When you go into trouble, He brings you through the trouble to bring you out of the trouble. But there's never a time in the Word of God that He doesn't say He's going to bring us in to keep us from trouble. He just delivers us through it. And anybody that's walked with Him long enough to know that if you live in this world, whether you belong to Jesus or don't, you're going to find trouble. Amen? Yes, and if you don't find it, it's going to find you. Yes, Shelby, you ever find trouble?
Yes, sir.
Trouble find you?
Yes, sir.
You ain't even got to go looking for it, huh? Daily basis.
Just wake up.
Just wake up. Just wake up. It's just part of walking through this world. But you know, everything God brings us in, and everything God brings us to, and everything God shepherds our life toward, He always shepherds us through. Amen?
Amen.
And all of it becomes an avenue, an opportunity for us, an open door for us just to refine our storytelling abilities, our storytelling desire, our storytelling delight of how God brought me into this, God's bringing me through this, and God's bringing me out of this, and I can't help but give Him glory for it. Amen? You see, I've got to be a witness to the Word on this. And this is exactly what Luke was saying. Luke said in his first few verses here, just as many other people have taken on the responsibility to write about the Lord Jesus in His account on this earth, he said, I felt compelled to do the same thing. And I wanted to give you an orderly account of what I know. And he says that the Word of these witnesses and the ministers of the Word and how they delivered them, that is the words of God, to us. And that's what we become. When we are witnesses of the Word, we then are ministers of the Word, and we then deliver that Word personally to those people God brings into our life. That's just the process of what God is doing in us. The church has a very simple mission that God has given us. And that mission is to bring glory to Him. No matter what we have to face, no matter the disappointments or the delights, it is all to bring glory to Jesus. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, how then will we bring glory to Him? What's the ways that we in the body of Christ, as disciples of the living Lord Jesus, as storytellers of the gospel, how do we do that? Well, we do that in four ways. Four ways. Number one, we bring glory to Jesus when we're reaching people for Jesus. That's our mission, right? To reach people for Jesus. And you see, all the witnesses of the Word are actively, passionately, intentionally, purposely are reaching people for Jesus. It doesn't mean they're going to reach a bunch of people for Jesus. Doesn't mean they're going to reach an entire community for Jesus. Doesn't mean they're going to reach everybody in their family for Jesus. But it does mean they have a heart for reaching people for Jesus. And if you don't have a heart for reaching people for Jesus, this is what I would encourage you to begin to pray. Ask God to make you willing to be made willing. Just start asking God to make you willing to be made willing. That's one of the things that we need to pray for, quite a few things. There's some things that it's just hard, Brother Marvin, that we may not think we can, because we put more emphasis on ourselves, and that's what a lot of people do. They think to win somebody, they've got to win them. And if they've got to win them, they know they can't with them, so it's a distraction to them, so they stay away from doing anything that God gave them to do. But winning people is what Jesus does. I'm just the vessel that He uses to get His message to them. Amen.
That's right.
He's got to save, and He can save, and He will save, but He won't ever save them if they don't ever hear the gospel. That's where we get involved. We're carriers. We're the storytellers. We're the witnesses of the Word. And we are reaching people for Jesus. Then the church, the people they reach for Jesus, they are to teach them about Jesus. We don't just reach people and leave them where they are. We reach them to what? Teach them. What do we want to teach them? We want to teach them about the King. Amen. We want to teach them about the King of Glory. We want to teach them about the one we know and who known us and what He's done for us. We want to be witnesses to the Word. We want to be ministers of the Word. And to be ministers of the Word, we got to reach people for Him, but the people we reach, we got to teach Him about them. And when we're teaching about them, this is the third thing we do in the body of Christ, then we equip those that we teach to serve Jesus. We teach and equip them to serve Jesus. How do we serve Jesus? Well, to serve Jesus, we serve Jesus' people. We serve in the body of Christ. We serve the body of Christ. There is a place for you to serve in this body or the body you belong to. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Just coming in here and sitting on a pew and letting somebody sit beside you ain't what it's all about. Amen?
That's right.
You have to connect with people. Yeah, you got to gather with them, but the people you gather with, you got to connect with them. And to connect with them, you want to have fellowship with them so that you can have an opportunity to serve them. And as the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, He is the greatest servant that we know. And when we're being conformed to His image, you can't help but have a desire to serve people. Other people will be better in some things than you, but God has gifted you with something in His kingdom to be a servant to the body of Christ. I don't know what that capacity looks like. You may not know exactly how that's going to work, but I'm telling you, you got something in you if you got God living in you. And if you got Him living in you by the power of His Spirit, He has anointed you and equipped you to serve in this body. It may not be to teach the Word of God. It may not be to preach the Word of God. It may not necessarily be to sing the Word of God up there front. Aren't you? Look, I was cut out to sing. I was just sewed up wrong is all it is. Now, you're not going to find that. I know my lane. I'm not getting in that lane. We'll leave that up to Marcus and other people that can do that. Praise God for that. But I'm going to sing, and I'm going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. I'm going to praise Him because I know what happens when I praise Him. And I'm going to do that. But somebody in here, I mean, serving the body of Christ, it may be that you're really good at working on cars, and somebody in here needs somebody something done to their car that they can't afford somebody else to do, and you might be the person that does it. I think it was the sons of Korah said, God, we would rather be a doorkeeper in your house. We'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than anywhere else. You know why the sons of Korah said that in Psalm 84? I think we sing a song. What's the name of that song? I'd rather No. What's the name of it? Better is one day in your courts or in your house than a thousand what? Y'all familiar with that? That's based out of Psalm, I think it's Psalm 84, the sons of Korah. And that come from these men who had a great-great-grandfather by the name of Korah who was in cahoots with another guy who didn't like Moses. And because they didn't like Moses' leadership, they rebelled against Moses. And they said that we can do what you're doing. We need to be in your position. So Moses said, well, look, if that be the case, we're going to let God be the judge of that. You show up here tomorrow, and when we'll show up, we'll see what God has to say about it. So when they showed up that day, you know what happened? A big old hole opened up in the ground. And all those men that stood with those men, the Korah, got swallowed up in that hole. And when they fell in that big old pit, God closed the hole back up, and they kept on moving about their business. So his grandsons down the road knew what their grandfather did and said, we don't want to have no part of that. We know that you created us for something. If it means that we're simply a doorkeeper in your house, we would rather do that than get out of our place that what you assigned for us, and we want to be the doorkeeper. We want to clean the toilets. We want to do whatever. We want to sweep the floor. We want to take care of whatever. Lord, I just want to be willing to be made willing. Make me a servant. Amen? Amen. You see, we reach people, we teach people, we equip people, and then we, in the body of Christ, we mobilize people to go with Jesus. Amen. We mobilize them to go with Him. And you know what they do when they go? They do what we all supposed to be doing. Reaching, teaching, equipping, and mobilizing. That's disciple making. Amen?
That's right.
And that's what we are in the body of Christ. So we need to be part of that in some kind of fashion, in some kind of way, no matter how we look at it. Now, I know some of you, how many of you have aged a little bit over the last few years? How many of you cannot do what you used to be able to do? But God has opened up new ways for you to do things. Amen? You might not be able to do what you've always been able to do, but I guarantee you can do something. And not just anything, but something that God's put in you to do for Him so that you could reach people, that you can encourage other people to reach people, that you can support one another to reach. Now, when you reach people, now you're going to reach people. People are messed up. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Just look at your neighbor and tell them they messed up. Now, if that offended you, you messed up more than you thought. Amen?
That's right.
We're all messed up. And when you're reaching messed up people, reaching messed up people gets messy at times.
Yes, sir.
And if you're just the witness to the witnesses, you're going to be bothered by the messed up people that you're reaching. And you're not going to be a witness to the Word or the wonder of the work of the Word of God. You're going to begin to look at the messed up things about other people. That they don't act right. They don't talk right. They don't smell right. They don't think right. They don't do right. They just get in the way and mess up things. See, that's that sightseer. That's that rubbernecker. And you fail to become a storyteller to know that, hey, this messed up person just reached out and trusted Jesus with their life. He's done a work in them, but He's got a lot of work to do with them. Just like He did with you. How many of y'all come in here in a place where you didn't have anything that needed to be worked on you when you gave your life to Jesus? Man, I'm still a work in progress. Amen? He's still working on me. There's still lies and deceptions that I've clung to and believed. And when God confronts them with His truth and His truth sheds light on those things, then they create a crisis of conviction with me. Either I've got to cling to the lie or trust the truth that God gives to me. And when I trust the truth that He gives me, then He breaks that chain and frees me. And that's what we refer to as growing in grace. And all believers are growing in grace. But you can't grow in grace unless you're being taught. You got to be taught. That's the teaching side. You got to give people space, a little time for them to grow so that you can equip them to serve. And I want to tell you, you don't have to wait 20 years to serve him. Amen? Amen. Some people sit on the pew and wait 20 years, said, I'm still waiting on a word. Well, brother, the word came and gone. You missed it. Your word was about you and not about him. But I'm telling you, you don't have to wait. God says when he plants us, we become trees of righteousness that we may be the planting of the Lord to bring glory to him. Now think about this. When God created this creation we live in, when he created Adam, Adam wasn't no little boy. He created Adam a full-grown man. When he created Eve out of Adam, he created a full-grown woman. And when he created that tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life and all those abundant trees in that garden, it didn't take 100 years for them to grow. It didn't take them 13 years to grow and produce fruit. He created them with fruit bearing on them when he spoke them into existence. Amen? And I want to tell you, when God saves you, when he saves you, you become a tree of righteousness because your righteousness ain't you, it's him. And you are the planting of the Lord that has fruit on it to go to work to serve other people. To do what he's called you to do. Amen? Amen. You see, but we want to be witnesses of the word. And not witnesses of the witnesses who are caught up in to the word. We want to be involved in it. Amen? You see, it wasn't too long ago I would hear about people who had cancer. And I would try to sympathize with people who had cancer. And I'd hear about people who were having to go through treatments of radiation and chemo and those types of things. And I was not part of that club. But now I've entered in. Now I'm a witness of it. I'm not just witnessing the witnesses who've gone through it. Now I've become a witness of what it means, what it's like to have something in your body that you don't have any control over whatsoever. There's a difference. And there's a difference between watching other people do the work of the kingdom and you being involved in the kingdom yourself. Amen? There's a difference. So that we can minister the word. Look in Luke 1, go to verse number 70. I'm verse number 67. To practically serve the word to God's people, these ministers of the word. We've taken it from just that everyday witness to take that witness into ministering. And verse 67 of Luke 1 says, now his father, Zacharias, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, I need to be filled with? If you're doing things for God, you want to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever been drunk before? Now, I didn't ask you to brag about it. How many of y'all been drunk before? When you were drunk, was you under the influence of that alcohol? Yes. Well, Paul said it's a waste for us to be under the influence of alcohol. We need to be under the influence of what? The Holy Spirit. That is, it influences our direction, our life. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 68, he said, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he, God, has visited us and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn, a strength of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus was in the womb of Mary at this time. Verse 70, and as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who, that is the prophets, have been since the world began. Verse 71, that we should be delivered or saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. That he may perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our fathers Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, now watch, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear, and that we might serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. You see, the saving work of the grace of God is to free us, to break those chains from the enemy who held us in deception and darkness, not that we can go live our own life the way we want to live it, but that we can be delivered from this so that we can be delivered to something else. Remember this, God never delivers a man from something without delivering him to something. If God delivers you from sin, he delivers you to his service. If God delivers you from the hand of the enemy, he delivers you to the hand of his authority. God never not delivers us from something without delivering us to something. God is a God who never does anything accidental. And when he saved you, he didn't accidentally save you. Amen. And he didn't accidentally save you to sit on a pew from week to week. He saved you and delivered you to put you into his service so that you would serve him without fear, unashamedly, in righteousness and holiness all the days of your life. I mean all the days of your life. That's why the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, says those that are planted in the house of God shall be flourishing and fruitful even in old age. Why? Because God took them from something and put them into something. Amen. And that's just how he works. And you see, when you're a witness of the word, you become a minister of the word. Why? God took you from living for yourself in your ways and he put you into his service. A service that you don't have to be ashamed of, a service you don't have to be afraid of, a service you don't have to doubt, a service that is living out a way that is righteous, it's his way, and it's set apart for his glory. Amen. That's righteousness and holiness. His way for his glory. His way for his glory. So if you've been delivered, you've been delivered from something to something. How many of y'all have got an old car sitting under the shed at your house? Anybody got a couple of old cars? Let me ask you a question. Richard, you got one? How many? Does these old cars sitting under the shed, do they get dirty?
Yes, sir.
Even if you don't drive them down muddy roads and dirt roads and all that, will they get dirty just sitting there?
Yes, sir.
See, you don't have to do anything to get dirty. All you got to do is just sit around. Dirt's going to find you. Amen. So I'm not concerned of what you used to do. I'm more concerned with what you're doing right now for the kingdom of God. Amen. You see, a lot of times we get this mentality. Well, praise God, I come down the aisle. I made a profession of faith. I've been baptized. And I'm going to follow the cue of everybody else. I'm going to take my seat on the pew and I'm going to let everybody serve around me and I'm just going to listen to preaching and that's going to satisfy me enough. And you say, preacher, you don't know what he took me out of. Well, praise God. If he's took you out, he takes everybody out of something. Amen.
That's
right. I know that. I ain't worried about what he took you out of. I want to know what he put you into. What did he put you into? Because if he took you from something, he put you into something. Amen. That's just what he does. That's how he works. For an example, go to Acts. Look in Acts. Y'all ain't no her tonight, huh? Look in Acts chapter 5. I'm playing with you. We're not going to stay much longer. We've got folks that traveled in from Pine Prairie, Louisiana. Oh, man. We got folks that traveled in from all the way from Africa. From over in the Ruston, Monroe area. But they serve in Africa. Y'all on a little furlough right now? Praise God. Somebody came from Texas. Somebody says, I did too. And we appreciate everybody that has come from wherever you came from. And it's a joy to be able to serve along with you tonight. But look in Acts chapter number 5. Notice in verse number 17. These disciples were in jail. They've been locked up. Verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which was of the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. You see, you can be filled with the Spirit, you can be filled with wine, or you can be filled with indignation. Indignation is you just have this anger, you get upset, you're mad about things. You ever been filled with indignation? Anybody ever make you mad? A lot of times we get mad over the wrong things, don't we? I mean, it don't amount to nothing. And usually it's a personal thing about us more than it is something to bring glory to God for. Amen. Verse 18 says, and they laid their hands on the apostles and they put them in the common prison. Now watch verse 19. Don't y'all like those buts in the Word of God? But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. And this is what the angel told them to do. The angel said, go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of what? Oh. Go, stand, and speak. Don't go speak just anything, though. Go speak the words of this new life you have. Go speak of the words of life that's transformed you. Go speak to the words of life that I'm going to plant in you. He basically told them to step out, go, to stand firm, to speak up, and to show forth the Word of God. Go, stand, speak, share the Word of God. These were ministers of the Word, witnesses of the Word. They serve the Word of God to the people for whom God placed them among. This is what these disciples were doing. These were storytellers, disciple makers, who when they got put in prison, God opened the prison door and told them what He's always told them to do, no different than He told them in Matthew 28. What did He tell them in Matthew 28? Go into all the world and make what? Disciples of all the nations. Those nations are hostile. They're hostile nations. Go make disciples out of them. Teach them those things that I've taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of... even unto the end of the world, into the ages. The word go in that passage simply means this. You are already going in everyday life. You're going to the marketplace. You're going to work. You're going to fish. A lot of these guys were fishermen and they did things like that. And you're going. And when you go, just make this a priority when you go in life. When you go to the market, when you go on vacation, when you go to work, when you go home, when you go to the temple, when you go to the jailhouse, when you go to prison, wherever you go, if you're going to the hayfield, when you go, make this a priority. Make this the priority and purpose of your life to make disciples of a hostile world. Amen. You don't have to go teach them what you don't know, just teach them what you do know.
That's right.
Teach them what I've taught you. And I'll be with you while you go. You know how you want to make sure God's with you? You just keep going for Him. Amen?
Amen.
You keep going for Him and you won't ever have to wonder if He's with you because He's already committed. You go and make this a priority. I'm with you. You get off the beaten course and do your own thing, I'm with you, but not in the same kind of way. I want Him with me to empower me. That's why He told the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with what? Power from on high. Why? You are my witnesses. And to be my witness, you need my power. You see, an assignment of God needs God's anointing on it. a purpose from God needs God's power on it. And if we're going to go for him, we need his gospel and we need the power of the gospel upon our life. Amen. So everything you do in life, you want to have that priority. So you got to begin to ask God, God, make me willing to be made willing. Give me ways that I can share your story, what you've done in my life, what you taught me, with other people. Give me fresh ways to do that. Let me repackage it. Let me rearrange it. Let me retell it. Never getting out of the way of what you've already given me, but I want to be fresh in what I give away. I want to be passionate in what I have to say. I want to be purposeful in what you've given me because you planted something in me. I'm going, and I'm going with this new priority in my life that you have changed the way that I'm living. So that I can reach people, teach people, equip people, and mobilize people to go with you. Amen? To go with you. If we kept reading this chapter, they grabbed these old guys back up. They began to punish them. A guy by the name of Gamaliel came in and said, look, just leave them alone. If it ain't real, it'll die out. So they took them aside and they whooped them a little bit. And it says the disciples went walking away that day shouting for glory that they were counted worthy. As a witness of Jesus, as a minister of the word, to suffer for the glory of Christ. Amen. To suffer. One last passage before we go tonight. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. We're going to talk about just a moment about the woman that came to the well to get water on that day, and she had an encounter with Jesus. The scripture says she showed up and she heard, she went to get a water, and Jesus began to dialogue with her. And the woman asked the question, how is it that you being a male and a Jew are willing to talk with me? Because that was just something that didn't happen. And the way she worded that was that something's got to be different about you. Not what is it you want from me, but how is it possible that you could be willing to talk with me? And I want to tell you, there was something different about Jesus. And he goes through and he explains all kind of things to her and he revealed her heart to her. Remember what he said? He told her to go back. And he said, go call your husband to come here. And the woman answered and said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, I know. You've had five of them. The guy you're living with right now ain't your husband either. And a crisis, a conviction began to happen. Like, oh man, this guy don't know me from Adam's house cat, but he sure knows me. He knows everything about me. And there's a little phrase in there that always sticks out to me. Now watch this. Remember, the woman went out to the well with a pail of water to retrieve water when there would be usually no one else there in the midday, in the heat of the day. Didn't expect to see anybody. Didn't want to dialogue with anybody. She goes there, and verse number 27 says, and at this point his disciples came, and they also marveled that Jesus talked with the woman, yet no one asked him, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Now watch what the woman did. The woman then left her what? The woman left her water pot. You see, the sweet interruption of Jesus, it transforms and invades our priorities and purpose. Her priority was to get water. But when she met with Jesus, her priorities changed. Her purpose changed. You know what she did? She left her water pot there. The scriptures tell us she ran back to Samaria. She gathered the men of the city and she says, guess who I just met with. And the scriptures tell us, if we look at it, It says in verse number 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did." They went out and they met with him. Verse 40, "And when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of Jesus' own word." Now notice what they say. "Then they said to him, now we believe not because of the testimony of what the woman said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the living God." I want to tell you, folks, when you hear from Jesus, everything in life changes. Amen. Everything in life changes. Luke said that those disciples in his day were witnesses of the word. They were ministers of the word. And they declared the word. The word declare means to personally deliver. How many of you ever had a pizza delivered to y'all? Brother Marvin was telling us last night, we rode about 9 o'clock to Dairy Queen. And these girls got a blizzard. Marcus got a chocolate malt. I got a chocolate malt. Brother Marvin got a chocolate dip cone and a banana malt. But while, and a hamburger, huh? Now while we were rolling that away, he was telling us we just hadn't been able to find a pizza place to deliver a pizza to us. He said they won't deliver this far out. How many of y'all ever had FedEx drop something off at your house? What about UPS? You see, somebody had a parcel that they wanted delivered to you personally, so they paid for that, had it delivered personally to you, they carried it to you, you either signed for it and received it from there. This woman right here, when she had that encounter with Jesus and he interrupted her and changed her priority and purpose, she then became a personal deliverer of the word. She took that word back to those men in Samaria and says, "This is who I just met. He is the Christ. He knew everything about me, and I'm willing to say he knows everything about you. Y'all need to get out there and go meet him." They believed what she said, went out there, and when they encounter him and ask him to come stay with them, and when he taught them, they said, "Look, not only did we believe because of her, but we believe you now for your own words." That personal delivery. As a witness of God, serving the ministry of the word, we want to be deliverers who carry the word of God personally to the people that God has placed that upon our heart to bring it to. Sometimes it's on 79. Sometimes it's just down the road in the neighborhood. Sometimes it's all the way in East Africa. But whether your assignment's in Africa, or whether it's in Bossier or Shreveport or your next door neighbor, what makes that assignment significant is the one who gave it. The one who gave it. And you want to be a personal deliverer of the assignment that he gives. You want to deliver it. He'll give it to you. You just need to be made willing. Amen? Amen. He'll give it to you. Take what he gives you. Whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, within a Sunday school class or behind a pulpit or with a guitar in your hand, wherever it is, deliver what he's delivered to you. And let God make disciples with you. Amen? Amen. Let him use you. Let him use you. Would you stand with us tonight? Father, we thank you again. We praise you. as we started out tonight in this invitation, at this time, as we lift our voices and as we sing, we want to be reminded again, there is no praise that has been elevated to a superior or higher place than that which comes from the mouths of your redeemed. That your people, we in here tonight, will realize there is something about our praise. Will you allow your presence to rest upon it? There's some in here who've been holding on what you've taken them from, but they're not in what you've given them to do. I pray that you would help them tonight. That would become those servants of the word. And that we would all be part of one way or another with our resources, with our mind, with our strength, with what we are, of helping one another reach people and teach people and equip people and mobilize them for kingdom work. We need your help. We need your power. We thank you for this assignment tonight. Now we're asking for your fresh anointing to be upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.